comes in to close down the station, which it will. Unless there's some fundamental revolution in this country, I don't think that it's going to be roses and ice cream for us. What are we going to do? So we've been talking about that. So we really still need your help out there on that. But right now, we apparently have an incoming call. Perhaps this is the FCC. Hang on.
Hi there. You're on
Robert.
Free radio. Yes.
Benjamin Jones.
Ah, Benjamin, you're no doubt on campus and can't hear us, huh?
Actually, I'm up at in Felton, so I can't hear you.
Well, actually, we've been talking about the FCC and Free Radio Berkeley going back on the air, but we can quickly switch gears and talk a bit about what you've been doing. You're an organizer around police violence, and we've had you on the air before.
Yeah. Last Thursday, we held two successful events. One was the rally slash march to Happy Corner in memory of the one-year anniversary of the shooting of Happy John Don, which is great. We got two council members, Keith Sugar and Tip Fitzmorris, to come and talk. Gained a lot of press coverage right up the next day in the Sentinel. And
big photograph.
Yeah, and two television stations. I was interviewed on, I think, NBC and Fox in the Monterey, San Jose area for the 6 and 11 o'clock news, and they actually did a whole story on Happy John, and it was good. It was great. A lot of people came out, and then that night we also had a form of police brutality up on campus at Kresge College, and had some of the leaders of against police brutality who have had family members taken from them to speak. So it was a busy night, a good night.
Well, I know that a couple interesting things happened as a consequence, or that happened very soon after. We found kind of strange, and we commented on it. And I know you've been out of town and haven't been back, except I guess you got back yesterday. But you know that one of the main organizers, along with you, Steve Argue, who is actually fully pictured in that photo, which had the two council members at the town clock in front of that wonderful Stolen Lives display.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is a display of the relatives of those who've been murdered by the police, who are the officers who shot, or I guess mostly shot them, or pepper sprayed them to death, asphyxiated them, has not been brought to justice. And the third man, I guess there were four people actually, the four people standing up there, two were council members, one was Steve Argue. And the next day, the police decided, I guess, to do a little trial run, do a little street theater. They dragged him down. Actually, we've talked about this issue on a number of different shows. We played some interviews on his show today. He was on the air today talking about how he was taken to jail for selling the newspaper Street Spirit and held on felony charges all weekend and brutalized in the jail and held in solitary and locked down and finally released. Have you gotten much response from the public around this Happy John Memorial, or around your own project, which I guess is finding something to people, getting people to call in about instances of police?
Yeah, it's kind of been limited just because I left town the next day, and maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, right.
Considering what happened to Steve, but I did get a phone call, a couple phone calls asking if I had been arrested, because there were rumors going around that I had been arrested on charges of making terrorist threats somehow.
Well, that was actually the charge that we thought Steve had been not arrested on, but that had been laid on top of the earlier selling a newspaper without pleasing Officer Garner, which of course is a very serious offense on Pacific Avenue. That charge, of course, couldn't be sustained because we showed that it's legal to sell papers you have on or about your person on Pacific Avenue, even if you don't have a license. And that's not been in dispute since the police chief issued a letter to that effect a month ago. And they piled on onto Steve another charge that he was resisting arrest or obstructing an officer. And the third charge was the so-called terrorist threats charge, 69 PC, which actually I heard variously described as beating up an officer, terrorist threats, serious interfering. But in any case, it evaporated after they'd punished him and kept food from him and humiliated him and physically abused him in the jail. And he's back on the streets again, hopefully with some kind of legal suit coming down the pike.
Yeah, I guess it just got confused, but that's about the only thing.
No calls about instances of police misconduct?
Well, you see, the unfortunate thing is, since I was out of town, supposedly we had a lot of phone calls come in while I was gone, but a power outage pretty much erased all the messages, so I just really have been out of touch from all that, so I don't
I urge
anybody, if they were trying to get in contact with me, to call me.
Exactly. So,
get their message.
So what is your number, Steve, for those who tried to call you and then they have not heard back from you?
It's 335-8069.
We're talking to Ben Jones of... Do you have an organization? I mean, are you working with SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now? Are you working with HUF, Homeless United Friendship Freedom? Are you one of these renegade independents?
I'd probably say I'm a renegade independent. I'm loosely associated with Rascals up on campus. I'm involved in that. And pretty much, I guess I could just be called at this point, I guess a filmmaker, because one of the main projects I'm doing right now is this police brutality documentary, which I'm right in the middle of right now.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I understand that I talked to you earlier. You said you think the Rascals would be interested in the upcoming protests that I suspect are going to be hitting the streets on November 25th, when we find out November 24th that the City Council hasn't put the sleeping ban repeal on its agenda. Any predictions on that?
Yeah, hopefully, I forgot to mention, we just started something called Santa Cruz Art and Revolution, which is a street theater collective similar to what's going on in San Francisco with the Art and Revolution up there. But we're going to be pretty much getting together creative people in all aspects of creativity, whether it's film, music, painting, puppet making, dancing, drumming, and getting them together to perform actions downtown. And one of the issues that we were hopefully going to be able to go down one day and do an action for was this sleeping ban. And I'd also urge people, there's a holiday parade coming up on December 5th, and anybody can be in it. And so this, for all the creative people out there who've got an issue or want to do something for the sleeping ban or Free Mumia, you can go in this parade and pretty much do whatever you want. So it's December 5th, it's the holiday parade, so I'd encourage anybody out there who's got a creative idea and wants to do something with it to go for that. But we're holding a workshop this Saturday up at UCSC at the Student Center, the Pizza Co-op Junction, and we're asking for $3 to $5 sliding donation, but nobody's going to be turned away if they don't have money. And we're going to be pretty much 8 people from San Francisco Art and Revolution who will be coming down, and we're going to be teaching people how to make puppets, masks, drums, dance, whatnot. So everybody out there, we're trying to get a lot of people to this. It's going to be very powerful. We're going to pretty much meet at about 12 o'clock and decide what issues we want to rally around, whether it's Free Mumia, the sleeping ban, whatnot, and put together puppets, make a puppet, and get something together to put out on the street.
Now, by puppets, you don't mean 3-inch long finger
puppets?
No,
we're talking about huge 10 to 20 foot puppets that you see in protest parades, big paper mache dolls that are really visible. So we're going to be making one of those.
Well, how about some happy shopper puppets? I think that's...
Yeah.
We need to really get those merchants to, you know, encourage them and let them know that we're on their team.
Yeah.
And perhaps we can get them on our team. It'd be nice if we could all kind of team up together. Of course, until that happens, I'm afraid that the teams will be kind of arrayed against each other down on Pacific Avenue, some inside the stores and some outside the stores. Again, we're talking to Ben Jones, who helped with Steve Argue and others to put together the police violence, the memorial against, to remember the memory of Happy John Dine and to urge justice for him after his untimely shooting on November 12, 1997. You know, there's going to be a conflict with your puppet-making thing starts at noon, you say?
Noon to 5.
Well, not that much of a conflict. I think that there's a later seminar. We had an IWW organizer on right before you talking about a forum he's going to be involved with. I guess it's part of the same group you're with. But there is a memorial to Sean Alimi, the man I used to call Shit Kicker Sean, because he was a laughing guy and he was full of life, he was not afraid to stand up for his rights. and he died, of course, in a car overturn situation when the driver fell asleep a couple weeks ago, and there's a memorial for him at the Veterans Hall starting at 3 o'clock on Saturday in downtown Santa Cruz. And, of course, everyone is invited. There's going to be food. There's going to be an opportunity to remember Sean, express your feelings, or we may have some live music because Sean wanted everyone to dance at his funeral. And that's, I guess, what we're going to do. But you can go up on campus again. Where does your puppet workshop again?
It's at the Student Center, which is right next to the Performing Arts Music Complex. It's the wooden kind of lodge-looking place.
Hmm. And the number to reach you if people have concerns about police misconduct or they want to help you in your project of exposing police misconduct is what?
335-8069.
335-8069 to talk to Ben Jones. And, hey, is there more, or should we call it a phone call?
I think that's the phone call for tonight.
Hey, thank you, Ben.
Okay, take care, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Continuing, talking with...
Well, that dead air is one of those occupational hazards. I seem to be having some trouble getting our music together, but I am going to do it here. Strange. Not sure what the problem is. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and the phone number to call in here in case you want to join this discussion, have any questions. I think you can tell us what's been happening with you in the streets. 427-3772, 427-3772. The good news from Berkeley. Free Radio Berkeley is going to go back on the air on November 23rd. The bad news, that there is massive harassment and jail for essentially victimless crime simply as a tool to make the area on Telegraph Avenue a merchant happy zone. Another thing that John Vance tells us from Berkeley is there will be an emergency meeting in People's Park on November 30th at 5 p.m. to talk about the massive number of arrests for marijuana sales, primarily on Telegraph Avenue. Please come if you can. Let others know that they are welcome to attend. This meeting, we hope, will be to help houseless street folks better understand how they have power, how they have the ability to organize themselves, and also how to be safer while on the streets under the pressure of a police state that now seems to exist in the city of Berkeley. John actually wrote a very long letter on this, and I'm hoping to read it on the air. He was kind of asking me to hold off so he could dot the I's and cross the T's, but I think it's a good letter, and I'm hoping to read it soon. He wants me to let people know about the emergency meeting November 30th, 5 p.m. in People's Park, and remind people to dress warm. It will be cold and dark soon after we begin meeting, and maybe we could bring candles with small paper cups. Again, November 30th at 5 p.m. in People's Park in Berkeley, if you happen to be there on that day. Of course, that will be presumably well into the time when protests will be mounting on the streets of Santa Cruz if folks agree with me that this is the best thing to do to draw public attention to ongoing human rights abuses that are still unaddressed throughout the winter season, most particularly the sleeping and blanket bans, which are the laws that make it illegal for homeless people to sleep after 11 or to cover up with any kind of bedding after 11, including a blanket. You're actually, if you want to discuss this tonight, you can, of course, call me at 427-3772, but you can also call the television show Voices from the Village, which is on from 7:30 to 8:30. Start in about 45 minutes from now. Even if you don't have cable television, even if you don't know what's been said before, the issue, you can bring it up immediately. You can say, I would like to know why, Celia Scott, you have not put this issue on the agenda and just what the hell you think you're doing. And Mike Rotkin could have put it on the agenda too. What are these people going to do throughout the winter while people are cold, while they're being arrested, while they're being driven from where they can safely sleep? Who knows? Well, maybe their throats are being slashed because of some loony like they have in San Francisco is running around slashing people's throats. We know that after the Coral Street Open Air Shelter closed, massive, there was a significant escalation in the death rate among the homeless population because it's much safer to be in a group, even if it's considered unsightly by some people driving by or maybe makes nervous Karen Gillette and her funding sources at the Homeless Community Resource Center next door. Nonetheless, it was much safer for those people that they be in that open-air shelter, which was open for 2 years, 94 and 95, until it was closed by the treachery of Daryl Darling, Paul Marceau, Scott Kennedy, and Mike Rotkin. Who will be on tonight on Voices from the Village? And you can call that between 7:30 and 8:30 at 425-4920, 425-4920 for this cable television show. Let me try again, see if I can get this this tape rolling. I don't see why I'm having these problems.
To change this world.
Looks like we did it.
Solidarity Singers. Boy, the names of the songs are on the tape, but not the group. In any case, they got some good organizing songs there. And speaking of good organizing, we have a real good organizer on the line with us, and that's Roxana Kistapache. Hi, Roxana.
Good evening, Robert.
And Roxanne, I think that you may be single-handedly responsible for driving Michael Coconut Hernandez to total despair and bringing, encouraging many, many people in your Beach Flats neighborhood to come to the city council's show hearings that they held in the Civic Auditorium at the beginning of October. We thought they were going to be complete rubber stamps, and they would have been, I think, except for the huge public reaction that came. And then they quickly turned in their course and tried to stop the election results, the candidates who were essentially coming in to overthrow the Rotkin Renegade Council, and they failed. Anyway, I want to really clap you on the back and tell you good work.
I think there's a couple of people who'd like to clap me on the mouth.
Ooh! Yeah, you had some pretty feisty things to say at the last council meeting. What was your opinion? What did you have to say to Michael Rotkin? To Michael Hernandez.
Well, I didn't really single Michael out. He was the only, what I consider, token Latino available at the time. But one of the things that we've seen here in the Beach Flats is that all of the people who supposedly were representing the Latino interests were unavailable to them, really. They either spent all their time, as Mr. Hernandez did, trying to sell them the plan, and by giving them information that I considered not completely truthful, and or actually just ignoring their pleas for help and excuse me, and coming forward at city council, such as organizations like the Latino Commission, and saying things like that they were for affordable housing, they were for child care in the Beach Flats, things that were not, really didn't address the issues that were going on here. They were very vague, they were evasive. And I even went to meetings where Mercy Housing was, I don't know what you would say, the Latino Commission hosted a meeting by Mercy Housing, and when people were very, very hard on Mercy Housing and wanted to know exactly what the criteria was, and at that meeting I implored the Latino position, what is the Latino Commission, what is your position on this?
Well, what for those who don't know, Roxanne, what is Mercy Housing? What is that?
I think they're just a non-profit, but it's a corporation nevertheless of money grabbing. They just grab funds and build houses wherever, and whether they knock down housing, they just don't care. I mean, I don't see them. I've never gotten a real handle on what I feel like their name is meant to sway the Latino population. Mercy Housing, doesn't that sound Catholic? I mean, everything that they do, and they were so ugly to the Hispanics in our neighborhood that spoke out. There was a gentleman there who was Hispanic, a young man who was as hot-tempered and as volatile as any person I've ever seen when the people there asked really hard-hitting questions.
And we were talking about this so-called housing project that was going to be used to tear down existing housing. Is that
right? And so in our neighborhood, the name for people who do this, who are tokenly in protecting supposedly the interests of the Latinos, are coconut. And that's people who are brown on the outside but white on the inside. And that's all the people down here have seen. And the first time I ever heard it, it just made me laugh. It was just so appropriate and true, you know. It's like if these people have made it in the white man's world and have jobs where they're accepted, they fall in line with the, you know, predominantly white male contingency. And they end up not serving their people well at all. And we did not see, I feel that the white people who became involved, and I don't really want to make this a color issue, but it became very evident that a lot of the people that became involved in the Beach Flats fight on behalf of people who really were very impoverished and were afraid to speak up and disenfranchised already did them a much greater service than their own people did.
You know, there's some who kind of seem to be saying, well, the election is over, let's bind up the wounds, you know, let's all get together. We have this council majority. We have this new wonderful community input process, not yet articulated or established, but promised certainly by the new council majority. And yet, I heard some very encouraging speeches from activists like yourself and Fred Geiger and the wonderful Robert Norris, of course, a fine speaker.
The ever-silent Robert.
Yeah, you can't get that guy to talk. You know, you kind of try to coax him, but he just doesn't want to say much.
Once in a while, we get some pearls out of him.
Yeah, those swine are there waiting, you know. Anyway, but I noticed that there was a lot of concern about really clarifying that the struggle isn't over, that there are two camps, and there are plenty of people who kind of jumped on Johnny-come-latelys like Marty Wormhout and John Laird, and I would call Jane Weed one of them, who jumped on the bandwagon when they saw which way the wind was blowing, who have traditionally been part of the power elite in Santa Cruz, and who want to kind of return to the old regime, but call it the new regime, maybe with a few frills.
Well, I know what you're saying, Robert.
This worries me anyway.
But I do feel that for a while, for instance, the Board of Supervisors does, the county tries to stay out of the city's business and vice versa if they can. And I really am thankful. I don't think that they jumped in because they could see which way the wind was blowing, because honestly, till they spoke up, the wind wasn't blowing that way. And we're really grateful to them. And it has been pretty grim for the last 10 years in this town, I think. I noticed a big difference when I moved back in the heart of this town, and right after I moved back, then the town fell down in an earthquake. But there have been all kinds of excuses for what's wrong with Santa Cruz. When I moved back and it was filthy and unkempt, people said it was the drought. Then it was the earthquake, then it was this, then it was that. You know, the truth is that all people are interested in is getting money out of this town, is in the tourist trade and stuff. And I hope it is a new day. I hope that people will start beautifying even downtown. When I lived here before, there wasn't one shop that didn't have a flower box in front of it. It was the rule. When you stood at the town clock and looked all the way down the street or vice versa, stood where the new Catalyst is now and looked up the street, you saw nothing but flowers in bloom. What happened to those kind of things that made people love to come here?
Well, now, come on. They've got this beautiful all-year Christmas tree ornaments on the little tree.
But I do like that. I like the white lights, and I think that we can do more. But I just think that, there's a lot more to making this a pleasing place, and I don't think people have tried for very long. All they want to do is sell stuff, get lots of money for it, sell $100 children's dresses and $300 pieces of furniture on the main street and hopefully rook the tourists. So I do hope it is a change. I hope that, the kind of businesses, that the small businesses can stay in business. There's so many changes that need to be made. It's like, it's daunting.
Well, I know that one of the changes we're going to try to make next week is repealing the sleeping ban.
Yes, that is exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about, Robert. When I heard the people speak at city council meetings about how the policemen go around beating bushes to, flush out people who are sleeping, crime is rampant in our town. Why are they using their time for that? Mm-hmm. I don't understand. I've never understood this. The drinking fountain at City Hall, you can't get water out of it because they don't want the homeless hanging around drinking water.
They actually tried to remove the bench from the city council, and I guess the homeless woman there, Kitten Reynolds, protested that, and they brought it back. It's a strange thing. They share this kind of national
paranoia. Can you imagine
paranoia?
That you couldn't even get a drink of water if you were homeless? The one thing that everyone needs to live, and you couldn't even get a drink of clean water somewhere on a public piece of property?
Well, you can't get access to a public restroom at night, even though places like Capitola keep porta potties open all night on the beach. And
you just can't say, the homeless defecate everywhere and blah, 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 if there's no bathroom. You can't do that. It's a no-win situation.
You know, you can clean up the shit that the homeless leave behind, but the shit that Rotkin and his gang left behind at Highway 1 and Highway 9 is going to take many, many years.
That'll never be cleaned up. It'll always be a blight on our city.
Yep.
Santa Barbara has an area like this called the San Roque Strip, where they put strip malls up and car dealerships and all kinds of things. And the town, it's like they've never been able to get rid of those style buildings or whatever. They're permanent. You know, no one's going to go knock them down. And it's a horrible place to go in a beautiful city. I mean, it's just, and you have to drive through it. It's kind of like Mission Street is here. You know, it's kind of a throughway from one end of the community to another. And, you know, and that was all pushed through many years ago by people just like our city council. I'm just worried about the things that will be difficult to undo, you know. What? If that city council would have had their wits about them, I mean, they're not going to be a majority soon. If they would have been very smart to save face, they would have repealed the sleeping ban that night.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't they? It's going to happen anyway. Why wouldn't they save face? They're very cruel people.
Well, it's interesting. Even the new city council is giving us trouble about the sleeping ban.
I don't think they are. I don't believe that. I've talked to every one of them personally.
Well, for example, we've told them, and we've been kind of circulating flyers. I've got to get down to the beach flats and give you some of these, Roxanne, but we've asked people.
Gosh, I wouldn't want to miss any of your flyers.
No way, man.
It's been at least 2 weeks since I've had any.
2 weeks and 15 flyers later.
I know. You can get addicted.
It's they're more fun than a barrel of monkeys, man. But we've been asking Celia Scott and Catherine Byers to put the sleeping ban repeal on the agenda for November 24th, because November 24th is this peculiar session where you have the old council in the afternoon and the new council in the evening. And traditionally, the new council doesn't do anything but get sworn in and leave. But the problem is, if they do that on the 24th and the sleeping ban does not get a first reading, there's only one more council meeting in the year on December 8th, and you cannot pass a law at one council meeting generally unless you have a supermajority. I mean, since we don't, we have a 4-3 majority. They have that opportunity only if they put it on the agenda on the 24th. And I've asked Catherine and Celia repeatedly, and they've had 100 excuses why they can't do it. And so we've encouraged people with this flyering campaign to call in and say, look.
Well, I understand they can't do anything for 72 hours after they're sworn in.
No, that's not true. What is true is that they can't put anything on the agenda themselves, but the old council can. And business from the old council can be voted on by the new council.
I see.
And so I'm not blaming the new council because they can't do anything until the issue is on the agenda.
Oh, because I know, I've already talked to two members of the new council.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Tim Fitzmaurice feels about it. I haven't had a chance to talk with him. But there's all kinds of things that I think that we are all one mind about.
Mm-hmm.
About needing to take care of people, I mean, you know, needing to provide sleeping places in addition to repealing the sleeping ban and not have sleeping be a crime.
Right.
I hope it's come to that. I hope, you know, we consider ourselves gatekeepers. Those of us that have been spent a year or more in this fight and finally culminating, you know, at the point that it's culminated at. I mean, you guys hear about the Johnny Come Latelys, the Doug Rams, the, you know, Beach Area Working Group, but the truth is Phil Bear, Jane Bear, there have been so many people that have been working on this for actually 2 years, but intensely for over a year.
Well, what I was saying, though, Roxanne, is, again, getting back to this issue, and this is why I do feel that there's still
a
struggle.
I just wanted to tell you that we do consider ourselves gatekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
We are considering ourselves watchdogs. We are not going to be duped again.
Good. Because what we've told the council, so those of us who want to see a sleeping ban repealed before the winter, because if it's after the winter,
it is winter. You know,
yeah,
it needs to be repealed right now.
Exactly. But unless they have it on the agenda on the 24th, it will not be repealed until the second meeting in January at the earliest. So we've told Celia and Catherine, put it on the agenda, and they keep saying no. So our next response was, and this is what we're now doing, on the 24th, if it's not on the agenda, on the 25th, we'll be in the streets during the Thanksgiving season, and we'll be there every day until something is done. Because they can call a special session if they want and repeal
it. Have you let the new candidates know that that you have asked for it to be on the agenda for that day and why?
Endlessly.
You've talked to the new candidates
repeatedly.
And they're aware that
specifically.
Celia... Yeah. I'm just asking you,
yes.
They're aware that Celia and Catherine refused to put it on the agenda?
Yes.
I'm puzzled about that. I don't have an answer for that. I didn't know about it.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, that's why I'm glad that we are spreading the word. I haven't talked to a lot of the folks who are in the Beach Flats struggle, and I'm going to talk to Phil and you and others. But, yeah, we have talked to them. For the last 3 weeks, I've been talking to them about this. And I raised the issue at the last two city council meetings, the one on Tuesday and the one on a week ago, before that Tuesday. And, you know, I keep getting the same response. First, Catherine says, oh, you can't do it, and then she admits, well, I guess you could, but oh, no, I can't do it because I can't talk to them, because the Brown Act says I can't talk to other incoming council members. And I says, Catherine, you don't have to talk to anybody. You've read this law. It's been around for a decade. We've been organizing around it for a year. You know exactly what needs to be done. Now you have to do it. Oh, no, I couldn't possibly. We'll have to wait. And this is the sort of mentality, unfortunately, that I have seen from Catherine and Celia and other circumstances and been critical of them on. And it's really important that we have activists who are in the streets saying, no, you've got to go forward on this issue even if it makes you nervous. And that's what I'm hoping we can get done. And I've actually asked people to call the City Council hotline, and I encourage our listeners to do that at 429-3550 tonight. And you'll get a recording. You just push the pound key and you say, put the sleeping ban on the November 24th agenda, or we'll be in the streets on November 25th.
Yes, and that's a good idea, because when you hit that pound key, the voicemail goes into every council member.
Mm-hmm.
Your message will be received by each one, and they need to hear it. I'm appalled. The weather has been so cold. I see people with children. When I talk to people about this in the street, or people ask me how the election went, and I said, you know, the thing that really has to happen now is the sleeping ban needs to be written. I mean, that has to be the first humane act that I can see that needs to be accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And you get very defensive answers. Well, if you feel so sorry for the homeless, why don't you take them home with you?
Right.
Well,
exactly.
I don't know why those kind of remarks have to be made. I don't know why, as a community, we cannot provide, you know, safe sleeping places. And if people prefer to sleep outdoors, let them, but not hit them on the head with nightsticks, you know?
An opportunity for you to say this in a public forum is actually coming up in half an hour. Mayor Celia Scott and Michael Rotkin will be on the live talk show, community TV talk show, Voices from the Village, which you can reach at 425-4920.
Let me write that down.
Sure.
Down 425-4920.
And that's, again, for all our listeners, from 7:30 to 8:30 tonight. This is a live community TV talk show, and you don't need to watch it on TV. You don't even need to hear it. You just should call in and raise the issue, I want that sleeping ban repealed, or I'll be out there making sure that the merchants have a very, very uncomfortable season.
Isn't
until
it on right now?
I think it starts at 7:30.
Oh.
I'm not sure. That's what I was told. So I'm really encouraged, Roxanne, to hear your support for this, because, you know, it's been one of my pet causes for a decade, and I have other concerns, too, about the criminalization of poor people in public spaces. But I think that we need to hold their, you know, faces to the fire on this one. That's perhaps an inappropriate metaphor, but get them to take the action that needs to be taken, and to take it immediately. If they don't put it on the agenda the 24th, and we'll know tomorrow whether they put it on the agenda, because agendas come out on the Friday preceding the Tuesday City Council, then the only other option they have is to have an emergency session on December 1st. Or not an emergency session, but a special session to do that. And I've talked with the attorney, John Barisone, the city attorney, and he said that that is an option, that they could have a special session in which the sleeping ban is given a first reading and then pass it again on the 8th.
Well, Robert, would you repeat that number again for calling to Voices of the Village? 425, was it 4920?
The number for all you listeners to call Voices from the Village, the community TV TV show, is 425-4920.
4920.
Between 7:30 and 8:30, again with Celia Scott and Mike Rotkin.
Now, I believe, you know, it's very interesting, because I understand that the new council, when the city manager doesn't like the stand they've taken, as soon as they come in, he overwhelms them with paperwork.
Interesting.
And that is the way to keep them impotent for a good 3 months.
Really?
By overwhelming them with new tasks and stuff. So it'll be very important if the community wants them to do their work that we really support them in saying no to nonsense, you know, because they're going to be, as much as we're relying on them, they are going to be new, and they are going to be new in office. And I think Keith Sugar is very, very savvy about what legally has to be completed,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know that all of our candidates, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I really think that we're going to have to really be supportive of them not doing beer work.
Well, maybe what we need to do, we put out a flyer yesterday talking about, I think there will have to be a protest on the 25th, because I don't think they're going to put it on the agenda, but I'd love to be shown wrong. Maybe we need to do sit-ins in the city manager's office. Maybe we need to do protests around the staff that are blocking things. Maybe we need to do a number of things and find creative approaches. The first protest, I guess we talked about it being a clothing optional protest downtown to draw some media attention and also to encourage the merchants to strip naked the justice situation and really get to the heart of things. But, you know, who knows how it's going to come out on the 25th in terms of hitting the streets. I can only hope that when we come to that, and that there will be an item on the agenda on the 24th, and we'll be proceeding from there. We're talking to Roxanne Akistapache, and you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Roxanne, I'm going to have to let you go, because I've got another 50 minutes of blather to get
through. Oh, tell the public, you called and begged me to talk to you. Now, don't be acting
like
I'm holding you up
here. I begged her. She is my babe, I must say. Thank you very much,
Robert. I want to really thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the work that you did on the behalf of the people here in the Beach Flat. I really appreciate it. I appreciated Becky Johnson's work. I think you guys were pretty tireless. You gave us lots of time on the radio, and I really, really want to thank you, honestly, from the bottom of my heart. It really, your efforts really meant a lot.
Hey, and I think anyone who listens to the Oral Communications knows that one of the parts you do not want to miss is to hear Roxanne addressing the council. And I hope I can find that bit in the tape and play it, because it is classic.
Roxanne being ugly.
No, being beautiful, babe. Being beautiful.
So
I'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much, Robert. And if we can help you on the slipping ban, we also will go in front of city council, because I really think it's one of the most necessary humane acts that needs to happen right now.
Thank you, Roxanne.
So,
good night. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye, Robert.
Gets in the way, we're gonna roll right over him. We're gonna roll the union on.
have another caller.
Yes, you do. Uncle Robert, you're ruining everything. All those people that worked so hard to repeal this sleeping ban, and now you're having your demonstration at the most unsynchronized time with everyone else. We need to all put the pressure on, but we have to stay right in line with what can be done.
I see.
What are you trying to prove, Uncle Robert?
Well, I want power, absolute power.
I thought that's what it was, Dr. Robert. I really
did. I'm not fooled by your voice. This is David Silva, or Dead On David, as I've called him.
Yeah, I've received phone calls all day long from people wanting housing for the Green Party convention, but I also have all day long peppered through my phone calls have been people from the community complaining to me about how you are not in sync. Well, Robert, I think now is the time for everyone to put pressure in whatever way they best can, and you're doing what you best can, and congratulations. I don't think the timing is right personally, but that all remains to be seen. I mean, when it's all said and done, whoever put, whatever pressure wins, if we got them to repeal this damn sleeping ban by December 9th, then we've achieved our goals. So anybody out there that's upset with Robert, what have you done lately to phone the city council? What have you done lately to, not drink coffee on the 25th of November? That's another part of the deal here, the folks. You know, I'm going without eating food. I think some people go without eating coffee.
Well, let's explain that to the audience here. You've been around trying to repeal the sleeping ban for the better part of 3 or 4 years, and